three different Arthur Eames kisses, Inception Common Fix, written by 11 Inches for Fox Cubs Kissing Meme, recorded by Anitsuno. The first one has no title, but is set during the movie. It was over breakfast one morning, dangerously high-calorie pastries and espresso from the patisserie down the road that Yusuf favored, when Ariadne exploded. Eames had been waiting for it since the day he'd met her. She seemed like a firecracker, that one. Arthur had told him she'd yelled at him within an hour of meeting him, and Eames had heard her raise her voice at Cobb more than once. Yusuf was terrified of her. "You two are driving me crazy," she groaned. "Why is it exactly that you hate each other? Is there something I'm missing?" Arthur jerked a thumb at Eames. "He's an asshole." Eames grinned, rocking back in his chair. "He's condescending." Ariadne arched one dark brow at them. "Uh-huh." "I'm not condescending," Arthur replied, scowling at Eames. "You always mistake my sincerity for sarcasm." "No, you can be pretty condescending," Ariadne said. At the same time, Yusuf hummed thoughtfully. Eames laughed as Arthur looked adorably perplexed. What Eames didn't tell her was that he didn't hate Arthur, honestly. He just liked messing with him because it was fun, and because Arthur had such brilliant reactions to it. He liked the way Arthur bristled, or glared, or goggled. He especially liked when Arthur snapped back and they got to trade quips for a while, until Cobb told them to shut the fuck up. It was a familiar routine they had cultivated over the years, and it was partially the reason he had agreed to work this doomed job in the first place. After all, everyone knew Inception was impossible, no matter how good the plan was. If he was a better person, Eames would have said he was in it to help Cobb. But the truth was, he was in this for the money, for the sheer experience of trying something new, and for Arthur. He was fairly certain Arthur didn't hate him either. It seemed like Arthur was the type who would treat someone he truly hated with cold indifference, and he was anything but indifferent when it came to Eames. "You see, darling, even Ariadne agrees," Eames said. He reached over and tweaked Arthur's tie, and Arthur slapped his hand away. Ariadne's mouth shaped around the word darling, and she looked at Eames a bit differently. "But Eames can be quite an asshole," Yusuf said, smirking. "So we must give Arthur that." Eames placed a hand over his heart. "My oldest and dearest friend betraying me?" "I've known you for 6 months, you tosser," Yusuf replied. But the day of their inception arrived much faster than Eames had expected, thanks to Mr. Saito and his never-ending supply of money, and before he knew it, he found himself in the toilet at the Sydney airport, waiting for his gate number to be called. It was a risk having the entire team arrive at the airport at once, yet they and Fisher Jr. were the only ones in first class, and remaining inconspicuous was becoming somewhat difficult. It was especially difficult when Eames came out of the toilet and found Arthur waiting for him across the corridor, back straight against the wall. He was pressed and polished, perfect as always, but there was something in his eyes almost like uncertainty. It made Eames walk up to him and ask, "All right?" "Listen," Arthur said. He looked faintly embarrassed, and Eames couldn't help but stare at the unfamiliar expression. "I just wanted to say, in case something happens, Ariadne was wrong about me. I don't hate you." He raised his chin. "The plan you came up with is good." Eames wanted to say, "I know," but what came out was, "What could possibly happen, darling?" "Well, Cobb could be arrested as soon as we step on United States soil, for one," Arthur replied dryly. "And then I'd have to break him out and go on the run again and change my name." He rolled his eyes dramatically. Eames chuckled. "If you need a new passport, you know where to find me." "I always know where to find you, Mr. Eames," Arthur agreed. He smiled only slightly, but it creased the corners of his eyes and dimpled one cheek. Not for the first time, Eames thought that Arthur was beautiful. Maybe it was that smile, or maybe it was Arthur's admission, or maybe it was that bit of distinctively unfamiliar vulnerability in Arthur's eyes. But something pushed Eames into capturing Arthur's chin between his thumb and forefinger, and dropping a light chase kiss on those quirking lips. Arthur froze, and Eames said, "I don't hate you either." and he headed in the direction of their gate. 2. You are about to get diabetes from reading this. The first flat they hired together was in West London. To be fair, it was under the names Mrs. Horace Peacock and Jacob Fennelworth. Eames was Jacob, obviously. But still, it was theirs. It wasn't a secret, technically, but Eames liked the idea of knowing they had a hidden little spot for the two of them, safely tucked away in their own corner of the world. It was nice to come home from a job and find Arthur had redecorated the bedroom, or reorganized the weapons safe for better efficiency, or thrown away all of Eames' clothes. And Eames had fun cluttering the place up with crap he found at second-hand shops, and purposely moving around the furniture to drive Arthur mad. He found having sex in his own bed was far better than the run-down motels around the world he'd used to fuck Arthur in. And now he didn't have to listen to Arthur complain about how Eames never took him anywhere nice, or that he was going to get hepatitis from the bed sheets. One day, about 8 months after they'd moved in, Arthur announced, "I want our friends over for dinner." "We don't actually have friends," Eames pointed out. "Unless you mean that creepy old man who tries to chat you up at the butcher's every Sunday? In which case, I strongly veto that suggestion." Arthur seemed to think about it for a minute. "Okay, then I want Ariadne to come over for dinner." Which was how, a week later, Eames found himself on the phone with Cobb while Arthur was out introducing Ariadne to the Oxford Street shops. He didn't expect them to be back for at least 6 hours. "I don't want to get involved with what happens between you and Arthur," Cobb was saying from across the pond. "And yet here we are," Eames said. "It's just, you two are officially living together now," said Cobb, "and it's a big deal. I haven't seen Arthur this excited about anything since Glee did that episode on Lady Gaga." "You know I stopped watching telly after the 1998 World Cup," Eames said. "The point is," Cobb continued, annoyed, "I know Arthur can be difficult to live with, and if you need help, you know, with him, I'm here for you." That was possibly one of the most terrifying things Eames had ever heard come out of Cobb's mouth, and Eames had a very long list of terrifying things Cobb had said to him, from Inception to Limbo to Bachelor Party. "Have you thought about writing him in love letters and leaving them where he can find them?" Cobb asked. "I have this fantastic riddle about a train." Eames grimaced. "I don't understand how you know these things when you're on the other side of the bloody world," he said, hoping to derail the conversation. "Several years ago, I incepted Arthur so he'd keep no secrets from me," Cobb replied. Eames' fingers tightened around his mobile. "Just kidding. Ariadne told me." "Good. Because I'd hate to discover he told you what I did to him last night," Eames said. And Cobb hung up on him. Mission accomplished. When Arthur and Ariadne got back at nearly 10 o'clock, they were laughing and tipsy. Ariadne had roughly a dozen bags from the high street shops on her, but thankfully Arthur had only bought a new pair of shoes and not, as Eames had feared, enough clothes to warrant a new wardrobe. They already had 3. "Ariadne, are you going to put on a fashion show for us?" Eames asked, snatching the nearest bag. It was full of brightly coloured Hermes scarves. "I think the contents of this bag alone are worth more than this term's tuition." "I've just spent the last 3 months in Alberta with my family," Ariadne said, taking the bag away from him. "I deserve the entire new Hermes collection. And yeah, I'll put on a show for you. Prepare to be dazzled." "Normal people don't reward themselves for not killing their family," Arthur called to her back as she disappeared into the guest room. Arthur was moving around the kitchen the way he normally did whilst drunk, lightly touching everything as if to be sure it was real. Next, Eames knew, he'd start messing with the cuff of his sleeves. Eames caught him round the waist as he passed. "Because you know so much about being normal," Eames drawled. "If anything, you're the weird one in this relationship," Arthur replied, kissing him sweetly. The end. 3. "You need to call Eames," Cobb said the moment Arthur answered his phone. Arthur was in the middle of the supermarket trying to choose between Neapolitan, pros all 3 flavors, simple and classic, cons sometimes he wasn't in the mood for strawberry, and chocolate chip cookie dough, pros delicious, cons salmonella, ice cream. He raised an eyebrow at his own reflection in the freezer door. "Why?" was all he asked. Because, Cobb said, he called me about an hour ago and was talking crazy. I think he was high. Does Eames do drugs? He looks like a drug user to me.
You think everyone looks like a drug user, Arthur said, finally deciding on chocolate chip cookie dough and putting a pint into his basket. Or a pedophile.
According to the internet registry, there are 4 sex offenders in my neighborhood, Cobb informed him, for the 10th time.
I know. I was there when you explained to Philippa why she was no longer allowed to play outside, Arthur pointed out. He headed for the yogurt aisle.
Anyway, Eames doesn't do drugs.
He didn't add he knew that, not because of his unparalleled information-gathering skills, but because he had once, after a job, offered to share his weed with Eames, and Eames had lectured him for half an hour on how pot could rot your brain, and Eames complained Arthur was uptight.
What was Eames saying? He asked.
He was going on about how he didn't want to have regrets, and how the Inception job made him realize he had some, and then he asked me for your address and what kind of flowers you like. I told him you don't like flowers, because of... What was his name? Mike?
Matt, Arthur corrected, picking up a 6-pack of strawberry yogurt.
So Eames asked me what kind of guns you like instead.
Did you give him my address?
I didn't at first, Cobb said, but then he called me back 6 times, so I gave it to him to shut him up.
Arthur sighed. Sometimes I wonder how either of us are still alive.
He thought about the chance Eames was asking about these things and wouldn't already be waiting outside Arthur's apartment, especially since Arthur knew for a fact he and Eames were in the same city right now. Arthur may have, for security purposes, of course, followed him at LAX to make sure the man left the airport. He decided the chances were very slim, and he would probably have a guest for dinner.
I should probably go home, he said, after a minute.
He hung up, paid for his groceries, and calmly walked down the street to his apartment. When he got to his door, sure enough, Eames was waiting outside in the hall. He had a bouquet of roses and a box of chocolate tucked under his arm. He did look sort of crazy, like maybe he hadn't slept since they'd left the plane 12 days ago. His hair was sticking up in places, and it looked like he hadn't shaved in a while. Arthur paused at his door and just looked at Eames with a flat expression, until Eames said, "Hello, darling. Happy to see me again so soon?" However, without waiting for a response, Eames swooped in and pressed their lips together. Had it been anyone else, Arthur would have decked them, but Eames looked into Arthur's mouth a lot more carefully than Arthur would have expected from him, and their tongues slid together in a way that made Arthur catch his breath, his heart hammering in his ears. And then it was over, before Arthur even had a chance to figure out what was happening.
"What the hell?" Arthur asked, clutching his canvas shopping bag in one hand.
He licked his lips, feeling a bit dazed.
"Why are you here? Cobb said..."
"I have come," Eames announced, "to sweep you off your feet."
"No," Arthur said. "No, you haven't."
Eames deflated a little, and Arthur felt bad. But then he eyed the roses and the chocolates, and he said, disappointed, "I was really hoping for a new gun." Eames leered. "Do you want to check to see if I have one in my pocket, or if it's just me happy to see you?"
"I hate myself for being attracted to you," Arthur said.
And then he pulled Eames into his apartment by his shirt. The end.